Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Welcome, everyone. It's the Cornelia Stephanie Show, living heaven on earth together with you. I'm really excited about our show today because we're going to talk about depression and the gift that depression can be. My very special guest, Bob Eden. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Yes, I'm so glad that you said yes, because you live in Australia, and I met you when you called into the radio one day, and that's how I met you. And then when you and I had a private conversation, I found out a little bit more about your life and what you've overcome, and how you have embraced your own healing journey. And so today I invited you to come on to the show. And so today we want to share a little bit with the audience about the gift of depression, but also I want to tell everybody a little bit backstory about where you came from. You'll be able to tell us about your journey over the last 20 years, but I want to read a little bit on your bio and your upbringing to give the audience a better, story outline of where you came from. So today we're talking about the gift of depression with my very special guest, Bob Eden, the wounds and lessons of our childhood, how one man's journey from trauma and despair to living in contentment. Bob was born in 1952 in England, very premature and delivered by cesarean C-section. His mother never forgave him for the scar on her belly. He was about 2 pounds at birth and was not expected to live. But he did, and he is a survivor. And we're so glad that you did.
So am I.
Yes. Not sure why you chose the family that you chose, because your mom was prone to violent outbursts of rage. So even if you got within range, then you got hit, whether you had been good or bad. So basically, you got the crap beaten out of you for many, many, many years. So the message that you internalized at a young level was, at that time, was that mom is often beating me, and therefore she doesn't love me. I must be unlovable. These are your own words, and it's all your fault. And also, the other thing that you said is that the world is not a safe place. Your dad was a mythical being who was always at work. He came home after and went to bed and left for work before breakfast. So the message you got there was that dad never spent any time with you. Therefore, he doesn't love you. So you must be unlovable, and it's all your fault. And when you were 6 years old, dad disappeared completely. He had a nervous breakdown and committed himself into a hospital in Wallingford. You went to see him when you were 9. That was three years later. And by that time, he was institutionalized, just wandering around, muttering phrases that he heard. He did not need electric shock therapy. He just needed a holiday. He needed a break. And the beautiful thing that you say today is that if you're not creating your life, who is? One of the reasons why I asked you to come on the show is because if anyone can go from the place of where you were at in the upbringing and the conditioning that you were raised in, and that they can turn their life around and come to a place of peace and contentment and sovereignty the way that you have, it's admirable. And that's the reason why I wanted to invite you onto the show, And I'm so glad you're here. And I'm also so sorry, Bob, that you had to experience that as a young boy, as a young child, that you got these messages from your mother and you got these messages from your father that you were unlovable and that your whole life was tainted by that message. But you did rise above it. But then, you know, for 20 years then, as you were growing up, tell us about what that journey was like.
Yes, thanks for that intro. And I'll just go with the flow, because for me, the feelings in my body are just like the feelings I have in the green room before I go on stage and give a concert. So the energy is flowing through me.
Speak up, Bob. I want you to speak up, okay?
Okay. Is that any better?
Yep.
Okay. I would like to start with where I am now, just a few words about where I am now, and then go back to the gift of depression and my first onset and the steps I took to move through that, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
So where I am now is, I believe we are all Sue, and that's S-U-E. We are all sovereign, unique, and equal. And for me, everything else just flows from that. For me, I believe the universe operates under the KISS principle, which is keep it simple, sovereign. And so I am a sovereign. And as a sovereign, I am my own kingdom. I have my own boundaries, and I am responsible for everything that happens within that boundary. And so how I drive my life is, I am master and commander of my life, and I take full responsibility for this life that I do create. So as master, I set my life purpose to be just to simplify my own truth. And how do I know what's my truth? Whatever resonates with my heart. And then finally, as a spiritual being having a physical experience, how do I want to experience this life? And so I set my conscious life intention to be, I'm here to have a gentle, joyful, loving, healthy, and abundant life. And that's how my life is unfolding. So that's where I've got to. And so I'll go back to 1984, late November, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and fast asleep. And I woke up and my arms and legs were just doing what they wanted to do. And it frightened the crap out of my wife. And I felt similar, you know, like, what the hell's going on? And that was my first panic attack. And so following day, went to the doctor, who's a lovely doctor, but he's limited by his knowledge. He delivered my son, you know. So he was a lovely doctor, and he put me on antidepressants, and that began a cycle of over 20 years of taking antidepressants. Now, I have an amazing intellect. I'm not bragging. It just means that I've got a good quality power tool, if you like. I think my IQ is 150. Einstein is 160. Go figure. But in my journey, I noticed that I couldn't think my way out of this pain of depression. I couldn't think. And the more I tried to come up with the answers, the more complicated the answers became. And the more, you know, I was moving away from what somewhere I knew within me was my own solution. And that's S-O-U-L, solution. And so one day, I may be intelligent, but I'm a slow learner. After about 20 years, I just sat down. And I asked myself this question, Bob, what's the longest relationship you've ever had in your life? And obviously the answer was with me. Ergo, I am the only expert on my life. Why am I listening to other people telling me there's something wrong with me? So one day I just sat down with that pain of depression, and it's an awful pain. And for me, the only experts on depression are those folks that have moved through it, you know. But I just sat down with that pain, and thought, well, hang on. What's happening in here? And the light bulb went off. And I suddenly realized that this pain I was feeling was just a natural response from a sensitive, loving human being having to live in such a corrupt society as a wage slave. And that was one part of it. And then the second realization was I was not living my truth. I was living a life, the life that was expected of me. And so in 1990, I started sort of intensive personal growth work and came across John Bradshaw's stuff on the inner child. And it just knocked me over. So with my partner at the time, we bought all his cassettes and we used to run inner child workshops 2 or 3 nights a week. So this stuff, you know, just really, really became part of me. And that's where I got those messages from, by going back and visiting my childhood, but visiting it and feeling the feelings that I had as a child. And this is the hardest thing we ever did. This is that, because I got to this stage in my journey where, God, I hate you, Mum. I bloody hate you. But you've got to love your mum. You've only got one mum. And it was that dichotomy that was tearing my soul apart. So I sat down and wrote the letter to Mum. Oh, dear Mum, just writing to tell you how it felt for me growing up as a child in our family. Well, I thought it'd be over in 2 or 3 pages, but it ended up being War and Peace. I hated it when you beat me with the tongs from the washing copper boiler. I hated it when you dangled me by my wrist and beat me with a carpet sweeper. I hated it, you know. I just got it all out, you know, got it all out. And then I posted it to Mum in England. And that was...
You posted it where?
I posted it back to my mother in England.
Okay, so you did send it to her.
Yeah, and that was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. And eventually I got a letter back from Mum saying, oh, Bobby, I'm so sorry. I was only doing my best, you know. And I wrote back and said to Mum, this is not about blame. This is about telling you my story. Tell me your story. So eventually I got a letter back from Mum. Basically, she was born in 1924 in Germany between the wars. The dad was an alcoholic, and Mum was very violent and a control freak. And she had a very abusive and dysfunctional childhood. And then again, the light bulb went off. I suddenly realized that, yes, Mum was doing her best, but all she was doing, she was just dumping on me what got dumped on her. And so by writing that letter back to Mum, I handed back the abuse. Now, for me, you know, in Western society particularly, I believe we are all victims of victims. And if you don't hand it back, you pass it on. So by writing that letter, I actually broke the multi-generational cycle of abuse. And a couple of days later, I managed to phone Mum back in England, and she was back in hospital with a brand new occurrence of bowel cancer, 20 years apart. And I managed to get hold of her in hospital. And we spoke over the phone as mother and son, you know, as two adults. And it was so beautiful, so beautiful. And then the following day she died. And it was, you know, such a closure. And then I'm walking around like somebody's taking an elephant off my shoulders. But there's this niggle here. What's this niggle? Right, Dad, you bastard. So I got the notepad out and wrote a letter to Dad. He died, so I just, you know, I just wrote my story about, you know, why didn't he spend any time with me, you know. And I just put it in an envelope and put to Dad in heaven and burned it. And in that way, I handed back what was not mine, what got dumped on me. You know, I didn't deserve it. I just deserved to be cherished, loved, respected, and guided, you know. And so, yeah, I felt great after that. But
how did your dad respond?
He was dead.
Oh, but, your dad was dead, but you still wrote the letter anyway.
Yeah. Good. And after mum's passing recently, I've been in touch with my mum through a medium.
Okay.
Who actually told me stuff that only my mum and I know. So I knew it was, you know, Thad Dingham.
Yeah.
And the message I got from mum was that she was so grateful for me for sending that letter, because she is now able to heal her own childhood wounds in the beyond.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's amazing. And also I contacted Dad and he's got my back. He's got my back. So it's amazing. It really is.
It's profound because, you know, you are healing the bloodline lineage of your family lineage, right? You're healing that, you chose that. But I just find it so admirable, the steps that you took. One is you were depressed, you were on antidepressants, and not until you sat down and said, what is this depression about, did you open Pandora's box and did you discover, you know, the layers and the layers and the layers, right, of what took place. And then, you know, the John Bradshaw work and the inner child. I'm curious, is it the work of John Bradshaw? I mean, I've heard of him for a long time, but never did his work. Even though I do a lot of work with the inner child, but was that the work of his recommendation to write letters to the parents?
I'm not sure. Since I've silenced my mind, I can clearly hear my heart. And within the silence of my heart, I found a place I call my knowing. And my knowing has no words, but I get a lot of guidance through that. I'm not sure what to call it. But the work I did with John Bradshaw spurred me on. And then I came up with that realization about, you know, getting a letter back from mum. My heart knew that this was the right direction, although it's very painful.
It's profound. It's profound healing work. It's really profound. It's intimate. It's like, you know, talking to your soul, talking to yourself and finding out, you know, and really honoring yourself to the core of what your experience was like. And you looked at the depression, what you were depressed about, because again, depression means that you're paralyzed and you can't move forward. You don't have any life force energy. You don't feel excited about life, but you looked at it and you went into it. You went into the eye of the storm and you healed yourself through it,
There's another ingredient that I came across. I've spent most of my adult life working in research, and it's no coincidence that my dogs are terriers, because I am a terrier. You know, I like to gnaw down on the bone. And so I set my intellect to work during this period, and I compiled a database of the effects, and there's no side effects, the effects of all the antidepressants I've been taking. And they've all got one common denominator. They all produce feelings of anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts. And once I sort of absorbed that information, I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. These guys don't want cures, they want customers. You know, taking antidepressants is just a self-fulfilling prophecy that's making billions for these guys. And I also, in my research, I have yet to find any psychologist or psychiatrist that claims to have cured anybody, but they never will, because for me, there is no such thing as mental illness. There's no such thing as, you know, depression is not a mental illness. It is a state of dis-ease of the soul. And the psychologists and psychiatrists only work with the mind. You know, psychiatrists give you drugs to numb the pain. Psychologists give you coping skills to live with the pain. But the pain is actually a soul wound, for me anyway. It was a wound that I needed to heal.
Yeah, and I absolutely 100% agree with everything you say as far as the depression and the no-brainer and all of that. I 100% agree with you on that. Do you know what the statistic is in the world, you know, of depression? How many people suffer from it? Do you know the stats on that?
I don't have the final figures, but I know that depression worldwide is epidemic proportions. But for me, that actually ties in with the evolution of consciousness, because the evolution of consciousness is exponential. And so the increase in depression is exponential. And I gain great solace from that, because if I can make the same realization, then the more people are actually suffering depression, the more chance there is for more other people to come to the same conclusion and get out of headspace and get into heart space and find their true selves and do their work.
That's one of the reasons why you're here, sharing your story, sharing your message, so that we can send this out onto all the people that are out there that are suffering from depression, and that they can look at what you've achieved, what you've accomplished. When they listen to this story, they can see, they can identify themselves in your story, and they can see what you've overcome, and that there's a possibility for them also to rise up out of that dis-ease, right? And so, Bob, we have just about 5 minutes left, because time goes so fast, as you know, when we are in the flow and in consciousness. And, so I want to hone in on these 5 minutes, exactly what it is that you want to say for the next 5 minutes and what you want to say to the audience. And then, you know, I want to say publicly too, I love that you're doing this and that I have invited you to co-host together with me on the radio. And I would love for that to take place, because I really feel like this would be a fantastic series, The Gift of Depression, that we can continue to talk about. So for the next 5 minutes, please share with us what you want us to know.
Okay. This is straight from the heart. Every step I've taken, however painful, has brought me here to contentment. I'm just a simple bloke. And I reckon if I can do it, anybody can. But it takes integrity. You know, you've got to be brutally honest with me and get out of denial. And I also bet my life on trusting my intuition, my mind. I made that leap of faith. I don't know if anybody else has to do it, but that's what it took. I totally trust my heart. My heart is my compass, and my inner intuition is my only guide. And for me, I feel I'm carrying a message whose time is due. Yeah, it's time for the message to get out there. And I'm not the trailblazer. There are other people out there. You know, it's very few and far between. But growth is exponential. So let's get the snowball rolling, eh?
Yeah.
And thank you so much, darling, because we are coming together, and we are all arising like the phoenix from the ashes.
Yeah, I admire you. I admire you. I admire anyone that has been able to overcome such trauma. Not, you know, from the time that we're kids, from 0 to 7, when we're so open and vulnerable to, our environments, and that you grew up not lovable, and now you are lovable, and that you've overcome this, and you're alive, and you're well, and you're content. This is an admirable path, and not an easy journey, but you've done it, and you've had communication with your soul and with yourself, and now you're talking to us here on the air. And I know that you do other radio programs as well, because you've shared those with me. And I just want to thank you so much for being brave and being the man that you are, because I know you had to cry and you had to go deep in your pain and you had to feel it to heal it. And it's not an easy journey to look at those shadows and bring the love there, but you did it. So let's tell the audience where they can see you on Facebook. Bob Eden on Facebook, right?
That's it. Keep it simple, sovereign.
Keep it simple, sovereign. Bob Eden on Facebook, and you can check with him there. You know, any of the guys out there, if you are looking for a mentor, if you're looking somebody to talk to, I am absolutely certain that Bob is available, and we'll love to talk to you. Anybody that's struggling with depression, there is somebody here that is willing to talk to you and make space for you. So I want to thank you from my heart and from all of us here on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Thank you, Bob Eden, for blessing us with your energy today. And we'll see you again real soon. Take care.
Thanks, darling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.